On Point is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston. The program is made possible by your financial support. Please pledge online at WBUR.org.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. For generations, when Americans had a question about Gettysburg or Galileo or the state bird of Indiana, chances were they turned to the big old encyclopedia in the family den or school library. Today, a new world turns to Wikipedia, the interactive online encyclopedia written by everyone. You can read the entry on Antarctica, or you can change it. There are more than a million entries now, 10 times Encyclopedia Britannica's number, and many millions of avid users around the globe. It's becoming the ultimate instant resource on reality. But is it reliable? Joining me now in the studio is Jimmy Wales. He is founder of Wikipedia, which went live in January 2001. The site and its use are still growing in leaps and bounds. It's now the 17th most popular site on the Internet. And Jimmy Wales was, this year, named one of Time Magazine's 100 most influential people. Jimmy Wales, thanks for being here.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
So it's your baby, and it's growing like crazy. I mean, did you ever imagine it would become so huge?
In a certain sense, I did. I've always said that I'm a pathologically optimistic person, but it's really gotten really huge really fast, and it's been a lot of fun just watching it happen and participating.
I bet. You've got a deep background kind of in education. Your mom and grandmother ran a private school in Huntsville, Alabama. You attended there from an early age of 39 years old. Now, back in, 2000, you had the idea to put an encyclopedia on the web, and it didn't start out as a Wikipedia idea. It was called, Newpedia, and it was
right.
More traditional encyclopedia.
Yeah, that's right. So actually it was in 99 was when we started Newpedia. The original concept to have a freely licensed encyclopedia written by volunteers in all the languages of the world was just that. It's the idea. And so we set about trying to figure out how to do that, had a very top-down, hierarchical, traditional system with a seven-stage review process and so on and so forth.
To try and get experts to come in and put up their article.
Yeah, and it was really a complete failure.
After a year, you had just a couple of dozen entries.
Dozen articles, yeah.
That won't cut it.
Yeah, that didn't do it, right? And I actually realized that it wasn't going to work when I was getting frustrated with the slow progress and sat down to write an article myself. Mm-hmm. And I thought I would write an article about Robert Merton, who was an MIT professor who had at that time recently won the Nobel Prize in economics for his work in option pricing theory, which was
you traded options in Chicago at one point. Yeah.
Published paper, academic paper. Mm-hmm. And I sat down to write the article, and it was like, had a feeling in my stomach, turning in my homework, and they're going to get some professors to review it and get comments. And I was like, I did grad school already. It wasn't that fun.
This is hard. This isn't fun. But a little piece of software was floating out there in those days mm-hmm. called the Wiki, a tool that allowed for collaborative writing and editing online. Mm-hmm. Wiki, I guess, means quick in Hawaiian.
That's right. Wiki, quick in Hawaiian.
Okay. And pretty soon, how did you turn from, let's order up some articles to let's invite everybody to do it collaboratively right here?
Well, we opened up the Wiki, and within 2 weeks we had more work done than we had done in the previous 2 years.
By anybody and everybody, kind of all over the place.
Exactly. But of course, nobody knew about us then. It was a very small, mm-hmm. We're off on the side corner of the web, and mm-hmm. basically the academic community that we had brought together with Newpedia jumped right in and started working on the Wikipedia, and that really got us off to a good start. We had some great contributors from the very early days that sort of set the tone going forward.
Within a month, you had 600 articles. Within a year, you had not the couple dozen of the first year, but now 20,000 articles. And now, today, 1.2 million entries on Wikipedia. With what kind of range, Jimmy Wales?
Ranging over almost everything. It becomes harder and harder to find anything of notability that doesn't already have a Wikipedia article. And it's important to know, too. One of the things we're really proud about is that English is the largest language with 1.2 million articles, but that actually represents less than one-third of the total work.
I'm looking here at articles in foreign language articles, Turkish, Thai, Farsi, growing by hundreds and hundreds of percentage points just last year.
Absolutely, yeah. It's really a global effort, and it's actually very exciting. I mean, in in many of these languages, there never has been traditionally a really good encyclopedia. And so in many cases, the first great encyclopedia is going to be the free encyclopedia.
So you've got articles on just all kinds of things. Stacy Schiff wrote a fun piece about Wikipedia in The New Yorker recently, and you know she's citing Islam in Iceland, or you know the Rhinoceros Party of Canada, or the Capgras delusion, or you name it. I mean, any kind of micro-hair-thin subject has got an entry at Wikipedia. How does it actually work? How does an entry get established on whatever it may be, and how does it get maintained if everybody can pile in and say their piece?
Right. So one of the misconceptions that people often have about Wikipedia is the idea that Wikipedia is 10 million people each adding one sentence each, and this somehow turns into something. Actually, behind the scenes, it's much more traditional than people realize. There's a core community of contributors, 1 to 2,000, depending on how you count them, who are constantly monitoring the site, taking a look at new entries, taking a look at new changes, reviewing, making things consistent.
So they're like cops on the beat. I mean, I can come in and make a change, but somebody, if there's a change made, is looking over it?
That's right, yeah. And normally, this particularly happens if you come in and you're a newcomer and we don't know who you are, then we don't necessarily trust you. It's a real live human community. And that's actually, we're here in Boston this weekend for conference.
Wikimania, big gathering of Wikipedia folk.
Uh-huh. And we know each other and we trust each other. And that's actually one of the key, that human element is really key. I think a lot of people think of Wikipedia as a technological story, and they imagine it to be, atomistic individuals by the millions interacting in some magical way. But it really is a social innovation, and it's about a community of people that really care.
With arbitration committees and administrators and all the rest, but these administrators, these sort of cops on the beat at Wikipedia, are not necessarily expert in the particular entries that they're monitoring. So how do they know if it's right, wrong, or in between? I mean, with a traditional encyclopedia, we sort of understood that it went back probably to some scholar with, credentials and standing and all the rest. There was a kind of confidence baseline there. I use Wikipedia sometimes, but I have to say, I find myself wondering, gosh, is every detail in here true, or are we getting into the realm of what people are laughing about lately calling truthiness? We're not sure if it's true or just kind of true.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that that's exactly the right approach to take when you're using Wikipedia in its current form. It's very much a work in progress. The overall quality is quite good, but everything has to be taken in the right light of how it was created, that's really an important aspect of the internet as a whole.
But if truth becomes fuzzy and Wikipedia becomes kind of an ultimate source, have we lost more than we've gained? Yes, we've got entries on everything under the sun, but you don't know if they're quite true or not.
Right. Well, our goal is to be Britannica or better quality. And so that kind of fuzziness is not something that we're happy with in the long run. That's not really where we want to be. But we're a grand global experiment that's in process at the moment. We have some features. The Germans are going to be testing later this month a stable versions feature where they'll be able to, the community will review things and mark them as being good enough in some sense to try to help deal with this uncertainty that you have right now with Wikipedia entries.
I want to invite another voice into our conversation from Cambridge, Massachusetts. We're joined by John Palfrey. He's executive director of the Berkman Center for Internet and Society at Harvard Law School. They're hosting the Wikimania conference this weekend, including Jimmy Wales, founder of Wikipedia, who's with me in the studio. John Palfrey, thanks very much for being with us.
Hi, Tom. Thanks so much for having me.
So Jimmy says, here we are. This is the nature of the internet. It's collaborative. You've got collective wisdom being put to use here. But there remains this element of fuzziness around the accuracy and truth of these entries. So do we have a net advance here, John, or not?
Oh, we have a massive net advance. There's no question about it. I'm a huge Jimbo Wales fan and a huge Wikipedia fan, and truth be told, we're colleagues here at the Berkman Center as well. Mm. I would take issue maybe with the term the nature of the Internet. I'm not convinced that there is a nature per se. I think one of the wonderful things about it is we're making up the way that the Internet works, and I think the Wikipedia phenomenon, and nothing short of a phenomenon, is an example of what is possible in the internet zone. It's not to say it doesn't come with some issues. One of those issues being, of course, information quality, which I imagine you're talking about.
Yes.
But I think overall it is an enormous advance.
But what about this issue of information quality? I mean, if Wikipedia is going to help us define reality, at least past and present, and there's fuzziness about the accuracy, is that a setback? Does it embrace the web, does it mean we have to embrace kind of degraded information quality?
Absolutely not. I mean, I don't think there's any extent to which this is a setback. I see it all as additive and interesting and something that if we're able to manage it, and I'll get to that in a second, it's really almost all to the good. So there will continue to be the Encyclopedia Britannica story. There will continue to be the story that Microsoft might tell you through Encarta, its encyclopedia, or there might be continue to be on point, as Tom Ashbrook describes the world and his guests. I don't think any of those versions of the truth is necessarily the right one. And in fact, I think one of the cool things is that on many, many, many topics, there are people that we never have heard from in the past to help tell part of the story who can participate in various ways.
Jim, it's your baby. Are you happy with what you've unleashed on the world here?
Very, very happy. Yeah, the it's not just, as he was just saying, it's we're hearing from people you wouldn't otherwise hear from, but we're hearing about topics that you know, Britannica can't have an article about Islam in Iceland. They just don't have the brain power in terms of the number of people to do it.
We've been joined in this hour, and very happy to be so, by Jimmy Wales. He's founder of Wikipedia, and by John Palfrey, executive director of the Berkman Center for Internet and Society at Harvard Law School. We'll hear more voices soon. We want to hear yours. Let me turn to Phil in Framingham, Massachusetts. Hi, Phil. You're on the air.
A few weeks ago, I decided to look at the Wikipedia's entry on Russia and Russian history, and I must say that it was absolute rubbish. Particularly the aspects of the 1917 revolution and the Soviet period. It was as if it had been written by some Soviet high school dropout student. Total propaganda, ludicrous grammar, and the concepts that were embarrassing. And I looked at further aspects of Russian history, and Wikipedia went back 200 or 300 years, because I'm a Russian history specialist, and I couldn't believe the simplistic uselessness of the entries. And
useless to you as an expert, Phil, or useless to anyone?
Well, to the concept of truth. They were just simply untruthful. And nobody, I mean, whoever did the writing didn't get the facts right. The dates were wrong. The concepts were wrong. Somebody was confusing Poland with Ukraine. It's just nonsense.
Phil, stick with us. This is pretty harsh. Jimmy Wales, here's an expert in one big silo, Russia, Russian history, saying he opened it up and it's rubbish.
Well, that's interesting. I am not familiar with that particular article or set of articles, so it's hard to comment specifically, but I can comment on the general phenomenon. What we normally find when people who are experts who look at sections in Wikipedia, what we'll normally find that they'll say is, actually, it was pretty good. And they have quibbles here and there over this and that. Obviously, you know, Russian history, particularly things related to communism, can be contentious and difficult. So it's entirely possible that he came across the article when it was in the middle of an edit war, as we call it.
Phil, did it look like that to you? Did it look like an ideological battle going on through the facts?
Well, there was certainly ideology. It didn't look as if it was being reworked by anybody on the other side. But another complaint I have is that, as opposed to the Encyclopedia Britannica, none of these articles has any kind of bibliography, no comments about archival materials. It's just simply totally non-scholarly. It's as if you were reading, you know, some comic book version of history, and it's not sufficient, and it's not acceptable.
John, Phil, we hear it. John Palfrey, let me put it to you that there's a Russian scholar saying this isn't acceptable, this isn't sufficient. Period.
So I have a number of replies. I suspect that it's true that many of the entries are not as good as what an expert would do. And I guess my response to Phil is, if he has an interest in it, that going in there and helping us as a community fix it would be great. May not have the time or inclination to do it, but I think that the opportunity is there to go in there and have a discussion with people who are doing it. I would turn to another example, which is the page I'm most interested in, which is the Alexander Hamilton page.
Okay.
If you Google Alexander Hamilton, you used to come up with a wide range of different things that were, you know, not very good and varied in terms of who did it. Right now, the first hit is the Alexander Hamilton page on Wikipedia, and I think it's actually fantastic compared to many other tellings of the story. It has a lot of secondary materials that it's linked to. And one example would be his birth date. There's dispute as to what date Hamilton was born on. In the Wikipedia entry, you see both dates, and then you have a discussion tab, and you can go in and you can see the fact that people discussed which of these two dates is, in fact, his birthday.
So here's an interesting dynamic, and maybe a kind of leverage the word here, Phil. If you don't like it, go in and fix it. Of course, then we're all responsible to try and keep truth and reality lined up on Wikipedia. That's a big charge. Let me take a call from Chuck in Providence, Rhode Island. Hi, Chuck. You're on the air.
Hello, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, what do you think?
I love Wikipedia. I use it as my primary encyclopedia. I don't think I would buy a set anymore. It's just so convenient. It's there. And even though I think there are, you know, we have the possibility of you know, inaccurate pages, I think that's more than offset by the timeliness and just the breadth of the number of articles there.
What kind of thing do you look up on Wikipedia, Chuck?
Nothing. I don't know. I don't see any specific type of thing. It's whatever happens to be interesting me at the moment.
And are you prepared to sort of go to the bank with what you read there, or do you read it all with a sense that, well, this may be right or it may be debatable?
Well, I guess, I mean, you have to take that thought no matter what it is. I mean, there's no guarantee even, you know, a traditional encyclopedia is correct.
So Britannica's not God either, and you're going for Wikipedia. Chuck, thanks for your call. Linda's calling from Iowa City, Iowa. Hi, Linda. What do you know?
Well, Chuck's comment is why I think that Wikipedia is not only worthless but dangerous. People believe it, and they're ignorant, and they have no way of knowing whether what they're reading is accurate or not. I've banned my students from using it because I found not only inaccuracies but outright lies.
Did you find your students, is it college-age students, Linda?
Yes.
And did you find them turning to it naturally as sort of internet generation kids?
Because they want something that's quick and easy. But quick and easy, if it's wrong, is not good.
Now, you've banned it, but are they following your ban or not?
Yes.
But how do you know?
Because I checked their sites.
And you won't accept a sourcing to Wikipedia?
No. And neither will anybody else in the department. And if the librarian has her say, neither will anybody else in the college.
Well, so truth or truthiness?
And truthiness is not good enough.
We're getting some pushback here. Linda, thanks for your call. I want to turn to a voice joining us from Berkeley, California. Jaron Lanier is with us. He's a computer scientist, author, artist, pioneered virtual reality computing, writes a monthly column in Discover magazine. Encyclopedia Britannica includes him on a list of the world's greatest inventors. Jaron Lanier, it's been a long time since we've talked. I'm glad you're with us. You're writing about digital Maoism on Wikipedia. That's hot. What do you mean?
Yeah, by the way, I don't know if that's very good evidence for the Britannica's credibility, but...
yeah, so we've got punkiness on all sides.
Well, look, I've gotten a lot of heat from the Wikipedia community for not being on board for this one, and my reason for not liking it isn't exactly the accuracy issue, but it's more the question of personhood and identity. I mean, to me, when you have new social movements with a lot of energy behind them... Mm. They kind of go one way or the other. Some of them are like the 60s in America that celebrate individual voices in which people really struggle to find themselves and recognize the mysteriousness and variety of human identity. And then there are others, and I think, unfortunately, of Maoism and perhaps the Cultural Revolution, where people instead fall into this sort of collective anonymity, this way of losing themselves into the safety of a crowd. And, you know, the Wikipedia has this fanatical following that, at least to me, seems to have that latter quality, which I really dislike. I mean, all of the points that were made in its favor are true, but they are also true for other formulations of information on the web. I mean, all of these new voices, all of these obscure topics, all of this wonderful variety was occurring on the web before the Wikipedia. But the problem is now, as was pointed out, the search engines like Google send you to the Wikipedia instead of to the original sites from people where you can get a sense of the flavor of that person, where you can get a feeling for their context, who they are.
So you're saying there's what a kind of a herd mentality or a tyranny of the mass here?
What you do is you get pure information instead of voices. You get this sort of bland, you know, in between averaging of humanity instead of individual people. So, for instance, in what should have happened is there should be a homepage for Islam in Iceland. I mean, and you should go there and you should be able to kind of get a feeling for how it's designed and maybe see pictures of the people and get a feeling of the flavor of, like, who are these people. When you go to the Wikipedia, you get this pseudo average, bland, you know, kind of just, it's just words, you know,
amalgam of all. So you're saying make it more like a blog. Don't pretend to be exactly an encyclopedia. Jimmy Wales, what do you say to that? Jaron's concerned about digital Maoism here, the collective driving everything to a point he doesn't like.
That's actually one of the strangest points I've ever heard. I'm a radical individualist of the most thoroughgoing type, and within our community, we celebrate the individual authors who do fantastic work.
But your entries are thoroughly collective products, are they not?
In a certain sense, in a certain sense that any edited product, any encyclopedia like Britannica doesn't generally have unique voices. In rare cases, they do, but I actually think that's unfortunate for Britannica. I think there's a difference between understanding that an encyclopedia entry is not to be polemical, it is not to be a blog entry, it's to be neutral, factual, expository. That's very different from assuming that there's a culture of hiding in anonymity or a culture of digital Maoism. That's just really a sort of a strange thing to suggest.
John Palfrey, digital Maoism. Jaron Lanier is worried about the very collective sort of collaborative dynamic that Wikipedia celebrates, enables.
I guess I don't share that worry in that formulation anyway. There are issues with Wikipedia. I'm not saying it's perfect, but I actually think it's a really interesting addition to the set of materials that someone can come to when they go online. So I'm in favor of there being blogs. I write one myself, and I hope it shows up on people's Google searches as well. And, I think that the emerging information ecosystem that we should be after is one that has voices that are collected in such a fashion as Wikipedia can do, that are individual and clear and articulate and reliable in the way that blogs can also do. And I hope that they float up in the search results, and I hope that there are, more edited volumes, things that look more like traditional encyclopedia or traditional news organizations. And I think the job for teachers like Linda and me and others who are in universities or schools is to help students triangulate among those various kinds of sources. It is what's happening online, and I think we should figure out how to make the most of it and make it a useful and good information environment.
Let's turn to an individual voice from that collective. A student, Nathan, is calling from Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Hi, Nathan. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks. How are you doing?
We're good. What do you know about Wikipedia, Nathan?
Well, I'm a student at Dartmouth College in New Hampshire,
yeah.
And I wanted to briefly share the student perspective. I took a history of broadcast journalism class, and we talked about Wikipedia a lot in that class. And I interviewed a congressman for one of the Dartmouth papers, and he actually brought up the Wikipedia. He called it Wackipedia by accident in an interview. I don't know a single student who would quote Wikipedia in a paper, and the paper in a class paper, and the newspaper I write for has a policy against using it. But beyond that, we all trust it.
Do you take it as gospel, or do you take it with a grain of salt? Do you take everything you read with a grain of salt?
Somewhere in the middle, I think. The lesser trafficked articles often are erroneous. There was a visiting professor from MIT who said a vengeful student once went in and edited his article and put in a lot of untrue things because he was upset about a low grade.
Mm-hmm.
And this professor didn't want to change it because he felt it would be unethical to edit his own article. But at the same time, the higher trafficked articles, well, let me give you an example. I went in one day and vandalized some articles just to see how quickly they would be changed back.
So, Jimmy Wales is tisking you, the founder of Wikipedia himself. Okay.
Well, I went in to Russell and Moss on Hannity and those articles. some unhappy things in the middle. They were changed back within 15 to 20 seconds. And I would do this several times, several different articles, and each time it was changed back right away.
So you use it, and you see it as self-correcting. Jimmy, how does that work? If someone goes in, vandalizes a site, and Nathan found it corrected in 15 seconds, is that Rush Limbaugh's secretary sitting there doing that? Sean Hannity's wife? What?
Well, all of the recent changes are on a page that's reviewed by hundreds of people, and people have actually set up automated tools to monitor for various kinds of vandalism. It's an amazing thing to watch. I don't even know how it all works. I mean, the people who are doing that stuff are really incredible.
Jaron, you hear there again, here's a college student, and he says, look, I won't cite it in a paper, but I use it all the time to get a basic fix on the world. Are you concerned that that fix is inaccurate, or that it's simply not individual enough to leave room for innovation, for breakthrough, for different perspectives?
Well, you know what I would say my main concern is that it's not flavorful enough. I'm concerned about this new idea of the world that it's just information, that you pop something into Google, and instead of going to somebody's site that might seem a little odd to you that you have to adjust to, you're still within this universe that's familiar of the Wikipedia, this very bland place, and you just fill in some blanks with information. And I think it's a lesser form of communication. It's just this sort of denatured, minimalist way of getting just the bare facts. And there's a place for that. I've been misrepresented sometimes as being utterly anti-Wikipedia, which isn't so, but I think giving it the central status that it's had, particularly being the first response on a search engine, it just reduces experience. It reduces the richness of experience. It reduces the ability to notice fully that there are different perspectives and that some of them aren't just disagreements about facts or accuracy, but something mysteriously more than that, just, style, things that we don't even really have words for. And I feel that stuff is really lost. And by the way, the same thing could be said about the Britannica or any other source if you were to give it such centrality, but the difference is that it doesn't have that centrality.
Is that the problem in your view, Jaron? You write about a sort of a race to become the meta source for our understanding of the world.
Yeah.
Is Wikipedia winning that race at some level?
And that's a slightly different issue. I was talking about the current fad in Silicon Valley for these sort of collective sites, not particularly the Wikipedia, but other things like Dig and Reddit. And these are sites that try to select what people are interested in by watching the herd behavior online. And of course, since the new mode of making money on the internet is advertising, people love that kind of stuff because it assembles all these eyeballs efficiently without spending much money. So there's this enormous fad to be what I was calling the most meta, which is to be to have the algorithm that's the most on top of all the other algorithms observing the herd of humanity and being able to gather it in front of your ad. I think that's a poor substitute for culture, and I think it's a bad trend. But that the Wikipedia doesn't really deserve that particular bad rap, and I would make that's a distinct argument.
We're talking this hour with the founder of Wikipedia, the online interactive encyclopedia with 10 times the entries of Encyclopedia Britannica. Jimmy Wales is with us. And from Harvard's Berkman Center for Internet and Society, John Palfrey's here. And from Berkeley, California, Jaron Lanier, computer scientist, author, and artist, filmmaker. It says, first of all, on Wikipedia, he says, no, thank you. How do I get that off there? A few facts. Jimmy Wales says about 80% of the people who contribute to Wikipedia are men. That's interesting. About 2,000 admins regularly police the site for abuse. It's a nonprofit organization, most of its $750,000 annual budget from contributions, many as little as $10. Sometimes glitches. John Siegenthaler, retired journalist and publisher, founder of the First Amendment Center at Vanderbilt University, struggled for months to get false statements about him removed from Wikipedia. He had been an advisor to Robert F. Kennedy. His Wikipedia entry suggested he had played a part in the Kennedy assassination, and it was tough to fix that.
Actually, in that case, it was easy to fix. He fixed it. It was fixed within 10 minutes after he let us know. The error was there for 4 months before he noticed it.
Oh, okay.
There was no struggle to fix it in that case.
We've got a 10-second accuracy check here. Those 4 months, John Siegenthaler looked back on, I guess, with some dismay.
I believe... Jaron had struggles to fix his bio.
We'll ask Jaron about that. I want to get a little. We've talked about truthiness a couple of times here. Of course, that's the word all too true sometimes these days. From Stephen Colbert, the television comedian. On Monday night, Colbert talked about Wikipedia and how to use it.
What we're doing is bringing democracy to knowledge. If you had taken a class in astronomy before Galileo and you said the Earth went around the sun, you would have been flunked. If you go against what the majority of people perceive to be reality, you're the one who's crazy. Nation. Nation, it's time we use the power of our numbers for a real internet revolution. We're going to stampede across the web like that giant horde of elephants in Africa. In fact, that's where we can start. Find the page on elephants on Wikipedia and create an entry that says the number of elephants has tripled in the last 6 months. Together, we can create a reality that we can all agree on. The reality we just agreed on. And that's the word. We'll be right back.
Stephen Colbert talking about bringing democracy to knowledge. And I understand Jimmy Wales, founder of Wikipedia, that within, I don't know, not long at all, the site on African elephants had been deluged with people changing it, as he jokingly suggested there. And so what does that mean?
Well, I mean, obviously what we had to do was protect the article quickly from further editing for a little while.
Which you can do. You can throw a lock on.
Yeah, that happens all the time. Mm-hmm. Anytime we get a particular article that gets a lot of media attention, we get a lot of pranksters coming in and trying to goof around with it. So the admins will lock it.
You've chatted with Stephen Colbert recently.
I met him, and he said, you know, Jimmy, can you help me? I need to have you fix my bio in Wikipedia. I said, oh, what's wrong? He said, well, it says I'm married. And I said, oh, that's not true. He said, oh, no, it is true. It just disappoints all the ladies. So
Colbert.
I thought that was pretty good.
John Palfrey, Stephen Colbert there describing reality now as a malleable sort of mob rule, at least as represented on Wikipedia. Do you see a danger of that?
I guess the main danger I see is one that my colleague Jonathan Zittrain here at Harvard Law School has been talking about, which is, what do you do when the wisdom of the crowds gets it wrong? And that may be somewhere in Jaron's critique as well. The question, I guess, becomes if something is so powerful and it is the resource that everybody goes to, and I sort of disagree with this because I think you can go to other sources too, you know, what's your recourse? Jimmy Wales has one answer, which I think is that the community itself has a self-policing-ness to it, which I think is very good. But I think there is an open question that says, you know, if we're always following the largest number, you know, how do you correct something when, you know, when you can't, you sort of can't convince the crowd that it's wrong effectively?
I want to turn to a participant in Wikipedia, in fact, a huge one. Joining us from Ottawa, Canada, is Simon Pulsifer. He is the top contributor to Wikipedia. He's written 3,000 articles and edited about 70,000 articles. He keeps more than 2,000 articles on his watch list. And believe me, there's a competition to be number one in this world. Simon Pulsifer, thank you very much for joining us.
Well, thank you. Hello.
You must spend hours and hours and hours policing and contributing to Wikipedia. Why do you do it?
Well, realistically, it's because I do quite enjoy it. Like, I do think it's valuable and a useful resource, and it's sort of nice to be contributing to sort of the greater good, but it's just that I've always enjoyed sort of learning about things and then writing and be able to share information.
You've written 3,000 articles for Wikipedia. How can anybody be expert in 3,000 entries, 3,000 subjects?
Well, many of them are very closely related to the same thing. So, for instance, I might write an article on, like, the city of Ottawa, but then there's also sort of 200 different articles on various sort of sites and buildings within Ottawa, which I've written most of. So, like, I might be an expert on my hometown, and that leads to far more than one article.
So you're Ottawa man or hometown man. And what about the edits? 70,000 articles edited by you. Simon Pulsifer, is that for content? Is it for grammar? What's your typical intervention?
Well, like, an edit can be anything from sort of fixing a typo to actually writing an entire article. And so the vast majority of that sort of 70,000 are sort of smaller changes rather than sort of really adding content. But I do try to, like, my main motivation is to actually sort of increase the amount of content and information in Wikipedia.
You're the top contributor in something that people contribute to from all over the world. Are you a hero, a rock star in that world? Do they kowtow and bow down and sing hosannas to you when you walk by, Simon?
Oh, not. That hasn't been my experience. I still, if there's any sort of a conflict over what an article should say, I have exactly the same weight in any discussion as any other user, so.
Sounds like big throw weight, though, with 3,000 articles and all those edits. Let me get a call from Monica. Hi, Monica. You're on the air.
Yes. Hi there.
Hi. What do you know, Monica?
I am a Wiki user. I'm a homeschooling mom. I have a 9-year-old, and we use the Wiki in an educated way in terms of before I point her to it, I look at the discussions page and see what people have discussed during the evolution of that particular article and see if it's of value or if it's still too filled with controversy that's not very instructive to my daughter.
So you, the mom doing the homeschooling, judges Wikipedia entry by entry before you turn your daughter loose on it?
That's right. I've tried to turn her loose, and she won't just sort of go on it. She needs a more directed, so let's say we're doing a project on chemistry, and so I'm trying to teach her about crystals or something like that, and then I point her to that particular page. But then what I also do is blog about our various lessons, and on the blog, the Wiki serves as a resource for people who want to go deeper if they want to.
And why do you go to Wikipedia instead of some other source? Are you at all worried about Jaron Lanier's concern that you're not going to get kind of the beauty of one brilliant contribution here? Rather, you're going to get sort of the mass output, the even mob reality. Are you worried about that?
Well, that's one of the reasons why we homeschool. I'm a scientist. My bias is to look at original sources and to critically assess what is being consumed by myself and my children. And so part of the lesson of looking at Wiki is saying, you know, is that something that we feel comfortable with? And let's go deeper and let's explore that.
So you're teaching critical reading. At the same time, you're using the great big charging train there. Monica, thanks for your call. Let me get one more here from Des Moines, Iowa. Mike's on the line. Hi, Mike. You're on the air.
Hey. I wanted to comment earlier on what the college professor said about banning Wikipedia from all papers. I studied history at the University of Pennsylvania and just think, I mean, it just sounds insane to ban any source. I mean, the point of education is, as the previous caller just said, to be able to look at sources critically. And I don't think you're necessarily turning it over to mob rule, as you could say that academia leaves all the power in a few PhDs.
So broaden it out and go for that. But do you find yourself situated to be to judge if you don't have the expertise on a particular entry?
The thing is that if you're writing an entire thesis on Russian history from Wikipedia, I mean, that's as insane as writing a thesis on Russian history from just one book. And I think that Wikipedia has advantages that others don't, and that some of the things I read about on Wikipedia are underground, like alt-rock bands. Mm-hmm. And the only people who really know about those groups are the people who are involved in the scene and who write about it on Wikipedia. And on those, I mean, it's just the information is spot on.
And you won't find it anywhere else. Simon Pulsifer, what do you say to the world of people who want to be sure that they're getting accuracy when they come in here? You edit a lot. How much wariness do you advise Wikipedia users to have?
Oh, you have to be careful. And certainly there are always a fair number of articles on Wikipedia that aren't in the state that we'd like them to be. And critical reading really is essential. But it is also essential for pretty much any source that you depend on. And Wikipedia articles do have an entire history behind them that's all visible. If there are problems, very often they're actually labeled as being biased or being inaccurate or being out of date, which is something that you don't actually see on many other sources.
Well, I guess we're going to have to thank you for all your work there, Simon, and pray that you and many others keep doing it to make it just as good as it can be. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you very much.
Simon Pulsifer from Ottawa, Canada, the number one top contributor to Wikipedia. Robert's calling from Burlington, Vermont. Hi, Robert. You're on the air.
Hi. Say, I just wanted to say that on technical articles, usually ones in engineering and some of the hard sciences, I thought that the accuracy in Wikipedia was pretty good for what it could be. I think that it's in history and in social sciences and the kind of science where opinions dominate more than, you know, hardcore physical fact is the ones that you get people's opinions being injected and you get the big flame or the big edit wars on.
So on balance, an advance for civilization, Robert, or not?
I think so. I just wanted to say to Jimmy that I wanted to thank him, but I think some of these admins that he has policing Wikipedia are bullies. And that, I think, is going to be a problem in the future. I don't know how they're going to have to be more selective about that.
Bullies in what way, Robert?
Well, if there is an edit war or a spat about content, sometimes the first person who goes to an admin for help, the admin takes that person's side, even when that person's side is not defensible.
So the police are not necessarily neutral once it gets going.
Well, they can be deceived by the wrong party, and then the wrong things happen. And there was one admin that was so bad that it took, after I started complaining about this guy, it took still like several months to get rid of him. A guy named Karma Fist was his online name. And it was ridiculous how toxic this guy was.
Robert says, no thanks to Karma Fist. Let me put it right to Jimmy Wales, the founder. Jimmy, do you have cops who are bullies here?
Well, I'd say it's a human community. And so behind the scenes, of course, Wikipedia is a great, vast, unfolding soap opera with many different personalities, positive, negative, difficult. We have had some problem admins, and it is always a very difficult thing to really wade into these things and figure out what's going on and sort it out. The arbitration committee does a fantastic job of really trying to dig into it while trying to really generate a sense of mutual respect on all sides. I mean, we really try to have not a punitive atmosphere, but a loving and supportive atmosphere to try to turn people kinder and for good. But sometimes what that means is we are a little slow in getting rid of problem users.
Jaron Lanier, what happened with your entry in Wikipedia, the trouble you've struggled with there?
Oh, for God's sakes, you know, I don't even really remember it very well. I actually don't pay that much attention to it. I haven't even looked at it for a couple of months, so I don't know what's going on with it. I think in the essay I had pointed out one funny thing, which is that it identified me as a filmmaker, and all I've ever done was make one little short, and so I had tried to change it, and then they had a little edit war about it. I presume it eventually got changed, but I didn't even check. I mean, I selected that little incident just because I think it's funny. On the accuracy front, you know, once again, if it wasn't for this sort of strange collective appeal of the Wikipedia, I wouldn't be so concerned because, as one of the callers said, one should have some healthy skepticism of any single source. The problem here is it's an attitude almost like a kid tagging in a city, you know, a graffiti artist who gets to sort of affect the collective experience but do so with only a pseudonym, so they don't really quite have to take responsibility. There's this weird almost like narcissism of people who get to have this effect on the collective reality but without really revealing themselves, and it creates this sort of strange. I mean, I had that bullying experience when I tried to change it, and the initial, you know, there were and oh my God, the wiki fans that have written me about my position on this have been profoundly mean-spirited. I mean, there's this kind of strange emotional safety of huddling in this particular mass, and I just don't like the emotional backdrop of it. I'm actually glad it's happening as an experiment. I think it's an interesting experiment, and what I hope will happen eventually is that either there'll be some version of it that doesn't just address the transient accuracy problem, but really brings back the flavor that the web had more of before the Wikipedia swallowed up so much of it. You know, I just feel like that sense of flavor, the sort of little indescribable details of individual voices that we don't even have words for, that feeling for design, all that stuff is the stuff that's been really swallowed
up. John Palfrey, we've just got a minute here. Where do you see this going, John? Can we have that flavor and benefit from the collaboration of millions here?
I do. I gotta say, I mean, I go in the direction of Monica's comment, which is the job here is, as digital natives are the young people, you know, going to this culture for where they get information. Research is now online search. We need to accept the fact that that people are going to do a Google search, and that's where they're going to get a lot of their information. I think there's a wonderful series of different things that they could go to in terms of a range of sources, and I think the job is there's plenty of flavor out there, and I think there's plenty of edginess, and the job of teachers and others is to say, be critical thinkers. Figure out how to make your way through this set of information and to rely on what's useful when it's useful.
Jimmy Wales, you founded it. Last word goes to you. Is this going to be around forever? Is this the new be-all and end-all of information?
Well, we're going to be around for a long, long time. And, one of the things when I hear a college professor saying, I've forbidden my students to look at it, I just think back on parents used to tell their kids not to listen to rock and roll music, but it's here to stay.
Good luck,
rock and roll is here to stay.
Jimmy Wales, founder of Wikipedia, in town for Wikimania. Thanks very much for joining us. And John Palfrey at the Berkman Center for Internet and Society at Harvard Law School. John, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks, Tom.
Jaron, it's been a long time. Great to have you. Always wonderful to hear from you. Jaron Lanier in Berkeley, California, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.